You know that feeling when you are on final and the ATIS says, "Winds are calm and the runway is yours," and everything just clicks. Multiply that by about 10,000. I'm Ramp on Ramp Check. This is Radio Hangar, and we are talking about the single greatest week in all of aviation, EA Air Venture at Oshkosh, Wisconsin, late July. And if you have never been, this is the year. If you have been, you already know what I'm about to say, and you are already grinning. Let me take you there. Today's segment is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, all the way up. Mark the milestones that matter. Every coin tells a story. AviationSoul.com. So here's the thing about Oshkosh. People call it a fly-in, people call it an air show, people call it a convention. It is all of those things and none of those things. It is basically a city that springs up out of the Wisconsin farmland for 1 week every summer and then vanishes. We are talking about 10,000 airplanes, more than 500,000 people over the course of the week. Whitman Regional Airport, which is normally this quiet little field, becomes the busiest airport on the planet. I am not kidding. For that 1 week, the tower at Oshkosh handles more operations than O'Hare. More than Atlanta, more than anywhere. And it all starts with the arrival. If you have never flown into Oshkosh, the Fisk arrival is unlike anything you have ever experienced in aviation. The Federal Aviation Administration publishes a special notice to air missions, a NOTAM, just for this event. They shut down the normal procedures. Forget your instrument clearances, forget flight following. You are flying VFR along railroad tracks at specific altitudes and airspeeds, and there are hundreds of airplanes doing the exact same thing. You're in a conga line of Cessnas and Pipers and Bonanzas and RVs, all following the same set of tracks into Fisk, Wisconsin, which is a tiny town north of the field, and a controller is up there on a mobile tower, watching you come in and identifying you by your wing color, not your tail number, your wing color.
High wing white Cessna. Rock your wings. That is you. You rock your wings. Cleared to land runway 27, and you are descending into this organized chaos where airplanes are landing on parallel runways and on the colored dots painted on those runways one after another, sometimes with less than a minute between touchdowns. Your heart is pounding, your scan is the best it has ever been, and when those wheels touch down and you roll out and you look to your left, and there is a P-51 Mustang taxiing in, and to your right there is some home-built experimental that looks like it came from the future, you know you have arrived somewhere special. The first thing that hits you is the scale. You taxi to your camping spot. Yes, you camp under your airplane wing. You tie down, you pop your tent right there next to your Cherokee, or your 172, or your RV7, or whatever brought you here. And suddenly, you're in a neighborhood. You're in a row of airplanes with pilots from every state, and probably a dozen countries. The guy next to you flew a Stinson from Texas. The woman across the taxiway came in a home built she spent 9 years building in her garage. Within 20 minutes, you're swapping stories and sharing cold drinks, and it feels like the world's greatest neighborhood block party, except every single house has wings. And then you start walking, and walking, and walking, because AirVenture is enormous.
The grounds stretch along the east side of the airport, and they are divided into these zones that each feel like their own little world. You have got the main exhibit area where every major manufacturer in aviation shows up. Garmin is there with their latest panels. Dynon, ForeFlight, all of them. The big airframe manufacturers too. You can climb into a Cirrus SR-22T and sit in the cockpit. You can walk through a brand new Cessna Sky Courier. You can see the electric airplanes and the eVTOLs and the experimental prototypes that are still years from certification, but somebody actually flew them here. But here is what I love. Right next to a $500,000 turboprop, there will be a booth where a guy is selling handmade leather headset ear seals, and next to him is someone demonstrating a new engine monitor. And across the path there is a seminar happening in an open-air tent where a 90-year-old flight instructor is teaching crosswind technique to a crowd of 200 people, and every single one of them is scribbling notes like they are in flight school again. That is Oshkosh, that mix. That range, billion-dollar companies and backyard builders and everyone in between, all on the same patch of grass. You have to see Warbird Alley. This is incredible. It is a whole section of the grounds dedicated to military aircraft, warbirds from every era. And I am not talking about static displays behind ropes. These airplanes fly every day. There is a warbird showcase in the afternoon, and you will see formations of T-6 Texans and P-51 Mustangs and Corsairs, and maybe a B-25 Mitchell thundering down the runway. The sound alone is worth the trip. Those big radial engines at full power, there is nothing like it. You feel it in your ribcage. And the pilots who fly these machines, they are right there. They land, and they taxi in, and they climb out, and they will talk to you. I once stood on the ramp and watched a guy shut down a TBM Avenger, and the first thing he did after climbing out was walk over to a kid who was watching from behind the rope line and hand him his flight gloves. That kid's face, that is why we do this. The home-built area is where you see the future. Vans Aircraft, the company that makes the RV series, they practically own a whole section. There are rows and rows and rows of RVs in every paint scheme imaginable. But then you turn a corner, and there is a canard pusher that somebody designed from scratch, or a biplane made of carbon fibre, or an electric ultralight that weighs less than some motorcycles. The Experimental Aircraft Association, the EAA, that is, who runs this whole thing, and their mission is about people building and flying their own airplanes. That spirit is everywhere, you can feel it. People are popping cowlings and showing off their engine installations. They are explaining their avionics choices. They are arguing about the best way to do a fiberglass layup. It is the most passionate, geeky, wonderful community of tinkerers and dreamers you will ever meet. And then, the night air show, oh, this is something else. Wednesday and Saturday nights, they shut the lights down, and the performers go up with pyrotechnics on their wings, and they fly these incredible routines in the dark, with fire trailing behind them. The whole crowd is on their feet, thousands of people on blankets and lawn chairs along the flight line, and the sky is just exploding with light. Matt Yonkin used to do his twin beach routine at night, and it was one of the most beautiful things I have ever seen in aviation. The performers now carry that tradition forward, and every year they find ways to make it more spectacular. You are standing there with your neck craned back and your mouth open, and somebody next to you says this is the best night air show anywhere in the world, and you cannot argue because you have never seen anything like it. The daily air show runs every afternoon, and the lineup changes every year, but there are constants. The military usually sends demo teams. You might get the Blue Angels or the Thunderbirds. You will almost certainly get an F-35 Lightning II demonstration, and when that thing goes vertical in full afterburner, the ground shakes and car alarms go off in the parking lot. I have seen it happen. There are civilian aerobatic acts, there are comedy acts where guys pretend to be hapless pilots, and then proceed to fly the most precise routine you have ever seen. There are formation teams, there is always a wall of fire, and the crowd always loses its mind. But the thing about Oshkosh that nobody tells you about until you go is the stuff between the big events. It is the conversations. You are standing in line for a bratwurst, because this is Wisconsin, and you are eating bratwurst, and the person next to you turns out to be a test pilot for a major manufacturer, or a bush pilot from Alaska, or a student pilot who just soloed last Tuesday, and is here for the very first time, and is looking at everything like a kid at Christmas. Everyone talks to everyone. The barriers that exist everywhere else in life just dissolve. You could be a millionaire jet owner or a renter who scrounged gas money to get here, and nobody cares. You're a pilot, you are here. That is enough. The EAA Museum sits right on the grounds, and it is worth a solid half day on its own. They have everything from pioneer-era aircraft to modern home-builds. The crown jewel is their flying collection, but the exhibits tell the story of flight in a way that connects you to the people behind the machines. There is a whole section on the home-built movement and how everyday people turned their garages into aircraft factories and changed what general aviation could be.
For 2026, the EAA has been teasing some special announcements about featured aircraft, and I'm hearing rumors about a significant military heritage presence this year. Keep an eye on the EA website as we get closer to July, because the performer announcements usually roll out in waves starting in late spring and early summer. Every year people say it cannot get bigger than last year, and every year it does. Let me give you the practical stuff, because I want you to go. Air Venture runs the last week of July into the first day or two of August. Whitman Regional Airport, Oshkosh, Wisconsin Airport Identifier, Oscar Sierra Hotel. If you fly in and camp under your wing, it is genuinely one of the greatest experiences in aviation. Read the NOTAM carefully. Study the FISC arrival procedure. Brief it like it is a check ride, because in some ways it is harder than anything you have done on a check ride, but also know that the controllers are phenomenal. They run this operation with incredible precision and good humor, and they will get you in safely. If you drive in, there is parking and there is camping nearby. Many pilots bring their families, and there is genuinely something for everyone. Kids go crazy at Oshkosh.
The KidVenture area is designed for young aviators, and it plants seeds that grow into pilot certificates. One tip from someone who has been more times than she can count: bring good walking shoes. I mean it, you will walk 10 or 12 miles a day without even trying. Bring sunscreen, bring rain gear, because afternoon thunderstorms roll through, and when they do, everybody ducks under a wing or into a hangar and keeps talking aviation until it passes. Bring a battery pack for your phone, because you will be taking more photos than you have ever taken in your life.
And talk to people. That is the real Oshkosh, not the airplanes, not the vendors, not the air show. It is the people. Every single person there has a story, and most of them are dying to tell it. The mechanic who just finished a 20-year restoration. The airline captain who flies a cub on weekends to remember why she fell in love with flying. The teenager who built a Zenith from a kit with his dad and they flew it here together. Those stories are everywhere, and they are the heartbeat of this event. Most of what I have shared comes from EAA publications, the FAA's published AirVenture NOTAMs, and a whole lot of boot leather on that Oshkosh grass over the years. Find everything you need at EAA.org or radiohangar.com. Oshkosh in July. Bring your airplane, bring your family, bring your curiosity. I will see you on the ramp.